Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, our life is full of many, many experiences as we have this human experience here on earth. Please grant us the wisdom to show what we can do to prepare for life on earth and life in your heavenly kingdom after this life. I think about all the human experience we have with life, with love, with frustration, with truth, and all the things that are complications just as we go through life. As we love others, as we serve our Lord Jesus Christ, I think of Proverbs 18:21, and it says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And I think about how our speaking has long-lasting consequences. And we can go into the details in our mind and think about things that we have said or heard. And we know that conversation, our speech, our tongues have a great impact on our life and the life around us of people. The words that we form can have pleasure and pain. And Lord, we ask for your guidance as you direct us to holiness as we speak and deal with other people. Yes, in Jesus' name we pray and amen. We have all sorts of conversation. Some are casual and some are very thoughtful and with wisdom. And sometimes we have a fair amount of regret with what we have said or not been understanding of. So help us to be appropriate in what we hear, what we think, and what we speak. We know words make a difference. They really do. Perhaps the words we use can be helpful and healing to people. And if there is ever someone we have hurt in the past, we want to bring healing to that person that somehow we have hurt in the past. That's a part of compassion, and that is a part of forgiveness. So if you have hurt somebody in the past, maybe you can think of what you can do to ease those words, ease those feelings that were communicated at that time. Well, I know that things are going on in life. We have the power of life and death, yes, in our tongue, but we also have things that happen in our life that make us think of life and death. And it's always better to do something with love. And somehow we have to see what is going on around us and how we can act compassionately to the people around us. And we hope we can fix the words that we have spoken and that might have hurt or confused somebody. So try to fix things while you are still alive. There's so many things that are complications in life where we think we communicated one thing, but that's not what was heard. And it goes with what we hear too. Sometimes somebody speaks something, but we hear something different. So have understanding as we try to repair the damage that has been caused just as we go through life. We have an amazing God, and we want to live with holiness and with love. And I think about the things going on in history on earth, and there have been lots of confusion, lots of misunderstandings just among people, among politicians, or among armies and terrorists. Everything has gone on in the world, and some of us need to be forgiven. Some of them, it would be better if they were to ask for forgiveness. So, in a sincere way, of course. Well, we think about all the areas of life around us, including all the emotional parts. And we know that life can get pretty emotional, and we hope to have life that is not just with good emotion, but also with good thinking, compassionate logic. Yes, as we examine the lives that we have lived, and we want to think about the path that we have been on and have our path lead to heaven and not to that other place of perdition, of separation from God. So, yes, let us live appropriately and in a good and godly way. Let heaven be our reward. We want Jesus to say, good job, faithful servant. And we want to do what it takes to get into heaven. Now, I know we get into heaven by grace and not by works, but we still have things that we do in life, and we can pay attention to what we do and be kind, compassionate, yes, loving, loving with wisdom. I think that's what God has always done. He will do it, and we can be looking at life in that way too, when we do things with wisdom. And that takes a little thought sometime when we consider what the entire situation is around us. And we do have every sort of person around us. Some people are kind and loving. Some people are just plain tough and authoritarian figures. Yeah, we all have different ideas in mind for how we want to be in life. So, yes, try to express the kind of love that Jesus has, which is love with wisdom. Well, we have seen a lot going on in life, and we want to have that compassion with other people too. And as I say, with wise compassion. We can't stop living when we are in pain. And well, I know when we get really, really hurt, we do seem to stop interacting with people. It just is painful. So we might slow down our interaction, but we don't want to stop living and interacting. Of course, we know what happens in life, because we all live, we all have hurts that we deal with, and we want to be concerned and compassionate with people who also have those hurting going on. And we all have opinions for what is going on. Let's speak them carefully and with love. There are plenty of people who believe one thing and speak another, and we want to be true in what we think and speak and believe. Well, as we live with a loving and faithful life to God through Jesus Christ. It's an interesting thing to try to live completely faithful and loving to our God and our neighbor, which we are called upon to do. So I'm not evaluating you or thinking that you have done anything wrong. I just mean that we can all examine our own thoughts, words, and actions and live more according to biblical wisdom. And certainly, I think about parts of the Bible sometime just because I think about Matthew chapter 7, and how there is a narrow path that leads to life and a wide highway that leads to destruction, which I don't know anybody who doesn't think that means hell, but that's what we have to anticipate, is that our life makes a difference for our eternal destiny. And our words and our actions make a difference in our eternity. So think very well upon what you say, what you think, and what you do. it helps us understand if we are yielding ourselves to God and examining life in a way that Scripture would direct us. Well, we know we want to follow God and not man, but we get a lot of people, a lot of men, who will tell us how to think or even what to do. It's just like life. As we go through life with uncertainty and things changing all the time, why, look at what we have today. We have things changing all the time. It's almost like it's not even stable in life because we have so many changes. Society changes. People change. The politics change. The powers that be change. And somehow we want to seek the rock of stability, who is Jesus Christ. Even though we have things that repeat in history and we can get an idea of where things are going or what a certain complication means, we still ask for God to influence it and to guide and protect us. That's a part of our normal prayer. Anyway, it's a part of my normal prayer as we seek to have what is bringing us stability. Oh, what will bring us stability? I think a storehouse of things bring us stability. Like if we have enough what we need to live. Food and water, warmth and things to help other people too. We have a lifestyle that we have grown accustomed to with going to the store whenever we need food or buying gas for our car. But in so much of the world, they don't have these luxuries, and more time has to be spent to obtain what they need to live. And I think it's possible that we could have difficulties in America that would cause us to take more time to live. And who knows, we might be better neighbors if we did that. If we actually cared about other people and helped them or share our food and supplies with other people, and they shared their food and supplies with us, it might make for a kinder society where we know people and care for people and they care for us. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Maybe the hard times would make us nicer people. Well, we'll see what we see with what is coming. We do have patterns that we can read from history. We know the patterns, the past patterns of... There are a lot of things that were really difficult in history, and yet people made it through a time of difficulty. People have made it through a famine and starvation and wars and controversy. And so have people in every country. We have been through wars and hunger. And so we can do that too, but it's not easy. And that's why we want to have a few food and supplies to have a storehouse with which we can share with people. And what will a typical person do? Well, just do something. If you're the typical family person, or if you're responsible for an organization, or even someone in government, you can think about what to do. How can you help people? That's really the whole question. How can you be a Christ follower and show your love? Well, you have to have a thought first. And then you have to carry out your actions. And then you get to show people the love of Christ as you go about living and showing your love for people. That's, I think, what we do if there is a time of difficulty or even a call it a disaster. There are plenty of people in the world who have every sort of disaster around them. While we see the natural disasters with earthquakes and fires and tornadoes, just every sort of disaster you could imagine, it comes about. And right now there's famines. Famines in America, famines in the rest of the world. The people, like the farmers, are pumping the water out of the ground to water the crops. And there are sinkholes developing all over the world, in California, all over America. And in some places, the ground has dropped 5 or 15 feet. It just is what happens when you pump the water out of the ground, and then the soil collapses. It is affecting railroads and roads and even the canals in California. Oh, and the rest of the United States too. Look at the sinkholes, and you will see that if this is happening to our world, we might want to have a preparation for the just in case, of course. And there's more and more reason as we see these things developing. Drought and sinkholes and people who are looking for an argument all over America and all over the world. Also consider the spiritual needs of the people around you, whether your friends, your families, your neighbors, strangers. There's many people who need to have God through Jesus Christ in their life. And a part of what we do is we share the love of Jesus. Sometimes it's with our words, and sometimes it's with our actions. What are we going to share with people? There are many missionaries who do that, and they feed people, and while they're feeding people, they have an opportunity to preach the good news of the gospel to them, which is just what Mark talks about in Mark 16:15. It's the Great Commission, where we preach the good word to the world, the word of the gospel. There are several ways that all of this happens. Always there are different possibilities, and we want to be ready for any of them that could come along. Whether it's the kind of love and compassion we show to people that are regular problems, or if there is a need for spiritual guidance that we can help a person to understand or to receive. There are all sorts of things. And here we find new ways as we engage our thoughtfulness. And that's a part of what we do too. We deal with people as they have questions about Jesus, about God, about the Bible. And that's a wonderful thing about having enough understanding of the Bible to be able to discuss parts so that it keeps people's interest and understanding as we talk about what has happened with Jesus Christ in the world. Or we could go back to the ancient history of the Hebrew peoples. And that's a part of what has gone on also. I know so many people are interested in what happened in the times of David and Goliath. That's a big one. That has a lot of interest. And these are things that were just kind of miraculous with the skills that David had. Or Samson with his strength. It's remarkable things that we have a hard time understanding because it's not quite like that today. But they make for a discussion about what is in the Bible for people to learn about. We learn about the miracles that have gone on in ancient days and even today. We can tell about our own personal understanding about how miracles have happened. They probably have happened in your life too. Or maybe you didn't see it as a miracle. I know that's happened to me when I just felt so sure that my wife passed right into my arms and died in front of me. Did she? Well, there was not a physician present, so how do you explain that one? I can't say that she did, but I have seen death before, and it sure felt like death to me. Is that a miracle we can tell people about? Yeah, it is. It is. There are all sorts of miracles. How prayer revived her. Me and the children gathered around her in prayer. So, miracle or not, we have these things happen. We have situations happen where we might have asked the Lord, Lord God, provide a circumstance for me to introduce someone to Jesus Christ and tell them about the Bible. And then you know what happens? A little while later, you get that opportunity. Now, you can say that it was just something that happened, or you can say it was an act of God. You can even call it a miracle if you want, because these things happen right in our life. And it's a matter of how sure are you that it was a natural event or something that God did beyond what was natural. What is a miracle anyway? Do things happen to you that are just, wow, look what happened to me? And that's something which, that might be a miracle, and it's something that you have to consider and tell people about the good news of the gospel and what Jesus has done in your life. Now, there's lots of people who have needed to change a behavior, and they ask Jesus to help them with that change in behavior. And the change of behavior comes about. Now, is that a miracle, or is that something that just happened? Yeah, well, we all have a different idea, don't we? And we can explain it really either way. Was it a miracle? Was it just because we thought it and it happened? Yeah, there are plenty of people who believe that that is what happens, and they will also explain that that is the real miracle. You thought it and it happened. Well, do we really know? Nope. We don't for sure know, but there are miracles and they still happen, and there are things that you can discover as you search it out, as you read, as you listen to people's testimony. I know I think about the Book of the Martyrs. And is it a miracle? Yeah, I think there are plenty of miracles that go on even right now today. So how does that relate to if we have normal things going on? Oh, well, let's say there's an electrical outage, and you ask God to protect you in one way or another. And so it does happen in a way, and it doesn't happen in another way. Is that a miracle? Yeah. Well, I'm inclined to say yes, but I also know that there are things that just happen in life. And that's something for you to seek out, even pray about. Ask God for guidance and direction to understand. He will give you understanding. But there are things that happen as we go through life. Yeah, the electricity outage is one thing. I've had water outages. I've had lots of things happen. Car breaks down, everything. And somehow, things get a little easier when you pray, and you don't know why, but you pray and ask God to help you out of the situation. And what happens? Maybe somebody comes along with a tool you need, or maybe you can see what happened for you to fix the battery or alternator or something, a fan belt. All these things happen, and we don't exactly know why, but sometime they certainly are a miracle, and sometime it is the hand of God moving, and we say, thank you, Lord, when he answers our prayer. There are things that go on, in nature. In nature, we have things going on. We have things going on with earthquakes and tornadoes, and we have the droughts going on. I talked a few minutes ago about the sinkholes that are going on. Really, they're going on all across, well, not just the United States, from California to Florida, but also in other countries. These things are going on. We have other natural events that happen. Ooh, I think of the coronal mass ejections that have happened. Yes, there was the Carrington effect in 1858-9, and that was one that destroyed the telegraph lines on the East Coast. And there have been a couple other ones since. Of 1923, there was one that burned up. It melted the end of the transatlantic cable. There was another one in, I think, 1997, and then another in 2022. So there are things that go on, but do we hear about them? Hardly ever. Do we think that we were protected, or that we just got lucky or something? These things go on all the time, but we are not aware of all the things that have happened and have gone on. I just talked about the CMA in 2022. It was 2025 also. It's just that there were different severeness of them. There have been ones that have happened in other parts of the world, ones that have happened in America. These things do affect us. And so much of life, we are protected from the things that could happen to us. And yet, there are things like CMEs, coronal mass ejections. There are things like fires. There are earthquakes. And these things affect us also. What can we do to get through a time of difficulty? I think that's why we have a preparedness idea of making it through a time of difficulty. And right now, I just mentioned the sinkholes that are going on across America. I could mention the drought conditions that are going on also. I could mention the rivers drying up from the Ohio to the Mississippi to even in other countries, from Israel, the Jordan River to Iraq with the Mesopotamian Crescent. There are, in China and Russia, there are things going on all over this world. Will they affect us? Certainly they will. Will they cripple or kill us? That's another possibility. And we try to get along and have the things that we need to survive just a little longer so that we can actually plant a crop and harvest food. And that's going on really in every country of the world. In America, it goes on. In all the countries, every continent has these problems. And right now there's a lot of things going on in Asia that are problems. Some of them are political. Some of them are from natural disasters or events. And that's going on all over the world. Earthquakes in Japan, Russia, and concerns about tsunamis. And it's not just the great big one that happened in Indonesia or in Japan with the Fukushima event. These things are going on, And we get to figure out what we are going to do to prepare for some kind of a disaster. These things can always affect our life. Earthquakes are getting more and more numerous. Yes, most of them are small, and they don't affect the life that we live. But that's most of them. There still are some great big earthquakes. I've been in a few of them, and they really do change your life. The 1987 Loma Prieta was one of the earthquakes I was in. And that was only a 7. But it still caused the freeway to collapse, and people were killed. The bridge, the Bay Bridge, was, well, it was broken. And so these things do happen, have happened, and we can expect more of them because the Bible tells us this is what is coming at the end of the age. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us earthquakes in diverse places are going to happen. Those were the words of Jesus. And so they were recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. What is going to happen anyway? Oh, wouldn't you like to know? Well, maybe we do want to know, and maybe we don't, because there's a whole lot of people who want to prepare in the small ways, but not in the big ways. Would you say that they don't want to know what's really going to happen? Good question. I'm not answering for them, but we can talk about the way it appears. I don't know, but I do want to remind everybody that there are big natural disasters that do happen. And the Bible tells us they're going to happen. The scientists also tell us we are going to have natural disasters everywhere. And so it's a good thing to know how to turn off the utilities to your house. Because if there is a natural disaster, you probably will want to or will have to turn off your natural gas, your electricity, and your water. So know where those switches are, or valves, or whatever it takes. Because in a disaster or an earthquake or something, you will probably want to turn that off to reduce your fire hazard or water damage. I mean, there's all sorts of things. And I have been in a couple of times where the water has been shut off by the city. And so it's always good to have gallons of water. 10 gallons? Sure. 20 gallons? Sure. Depends on the size of your family. And if you have to go buy a 5-gallon container, well, do it. It makes it worthwhile, just so that you can provide for your family. It's not easy when you have children. Children have a whole nother situation, just like the elderly. If there's anybody in your house who is elderly, they are more sensitive to going without something, whether it's heat, water, food, or just plain having a cough or something like that, or getting cold at night. You will want to have a little bit of help for people if any of these situations do arise. There are governments and there are corporations. There are people who do have this concern about what should we do if there is an emergency. And so many of them have a paper for you to read over about what you should have on hand in the event of an emergency. So maybe there's a place you work that will have a paper that will help you to understand what you need. You know, everybody has their own idea. I know that people who have the $5 MREs, meals ready to eat, that are given out by the military. And those are very good, but most people can't afford them for a bunch of people, or maybe not even yourself. They are expensive. Dehydrated food is wonderful. It lasts for a long, 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 long time. But there again, what can you afford? What can you put together for if there is an emergency? We all have a different idea, but it's for sure that if you don't examine what you can do and do something, then you will have nothing. Who will you depend on? Oh, the Red Cross? Sure. They don't have any supplies. They have to buy what they need. Same for the government. If you are expecting the government to help you, well, they don't have anything. They don't have a warehouse waiting to feed you. There is things that they can buy and distribute. And that's what so much of a government, the corporations, and the churches do. And that takes a while. So often, the supply system, the distribution system, does not have any extra food or water in it. So if you think you're going to get help that's going to come to your aid in the event of a natural disaster, well, it could happen, but don't count on it, because there is no extra within the system. There are no warehouses of food to distribute. There are some organizations that have it. Oh, the United Nations has some, and they do give some away. But it's not that it's so accessible, you may not find it available at all. Just like the things that are going on in our own country, things are or are not available. And that is something which we all just have to deal with. If you want food, you have to get it yourself. There is a very limited amount of food and supplies that can be purchased. It's not easy. If you want anything, you should look at how you're going to obtain it now, before there is an emergency event. People just don't have supplies. And I'm sure you don't have the supplies you want. What if you couldn't go to the store for a week or two? Very few people have enough food to get by. And people so often think of cans of food. Well, that works. It's good. But it sure takes a lot of them. Oh, I remember a few years ago, there was just a situation that I had. And I had to eat canned food for a few days. I was shocked that it took 5 cans of food for me to get by every day. 5 cans of food for one person. And for 1 week, that would be 5 times 7, 35 cans of food. Now, I don't know that my pantry has. Yeah, it has 35 cans of food. But it takes up a lot of room, and then it's gone. And then what? And then you have the garbage to deal with. What are you going to do with 35 cans of empty cans? Oh, is that something the garbage man is going to come and get? What if there is a shortage of fuel or electricity, and the garbage company needs an extra week before they drive around to pick up your trash? How would you deal with it? Do you have a garbage can that will accommodate a little extra or a lot extra? This is a part of what we deal with as we look at preparedness. It's every aspect of things that you need. whether it's the water, the food, the warmth, the garbage to be hauled away, to be put into plastic bags until the garbage man comes by. And what happens if the garbage man does not come by? Do you have a way to deal with the garbage that your home creates? A lot of what we can do is put it into an area in the ground to deteriorate, but that takes time, and it smells too. So you might have wild animals coming around to eat the food that you threw out. It's all a matter of examining what your needs are. I don't mean I know what they are. I just mean that there are things to consider. What do you consider if you don't have your normal services? Water is the biggest one, and that includes drinking, but it also includes water for washing, water for flushing the toilet. And if you don't know how automatic it is to reach over and flush the toilet after you use it, yeah, you just can't help but flush the toilet. But there you need a couple of gallons of water to refill the toilet. What are you going to do if the water gets shut off for a week? Or if a pipe breaks in the street? That's happened to me twice. The pipe in the street broke, and so there was no water. No water to drink, no water to prepare food, or to wash, or to flush the toilet. These things do happen, even in a modern society. And so, yes, the water company usually repairs the water about a day later. So you're without water for a day, maybe 2 days. But that's a very long time if you are waiting. And how do we wait patiently when you have difficulties going on? It's not always easy to be kind and patient when you're in trouble, when things are going on that are just stressing you out. What do you do? Well, I think a part of it is to reinforce your strength with prayer and Bible reading, because God gives us understanding about what to do or how to help people. All of that, that's true. And we are to bear good fruit. I think of John chapter 15, where it says God the Father is the husbandman, which means that he is taking care of the orchard. He is trimming or pruning the branches. And the branches that are not productive are taken away, and they are thrown into the fire. And the branches that are bearing fruit, he's going to prune those branches too, so they will bear more fruit. And so that's what God is doing in all of our life. God is preparing a way of things to be a benefit for his kingdom, good for us, and a benefit for his kingdom. But that's something we might need a little patience to see. Because when we are in the midst of trouble, it's kind of hard to think of anything else going on. We think of the trouble. We think of what just might be happening. I think that's the time when we can read our Bible and try to understand the things that are going on in our Bible. Now, in our Bible, that's a great big book. There's lots going on in it. Lots of things that are good and loving. Lots of things that are judgment. Lots of things that tell about consequences, about why you want to obey our Lord Jesus Christ. Obey the commandments of God. That is right there. I'm thinking of Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, and it tells us who will go into the lake of fire that burneth with fire and brimstone, and that is the second death. You see, there are parts of the Bible that are full of love and full of God's truth. And a part of God's truth is that there are consequences for what you do and what you do not do. Back to that Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. It tells about who goes into that lake of fire. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars. All liars will have their place in the lake of fire that burns with brimstone. And I think about that. I think about it starts out that the fearful and the unbelieving will go into the lake of fire. And I think about who is the fearful and the unbelieving. Well, the unbelievers, that's pretty simple, but the fearful? Who are they or who are we? Because there are people who don't want to preach Jesus Christ. Why? Because they're fearful of the reaction of people. Oh, I want to tell people about Jesus, but I just haven't found the opportunity yet. Why? Are you afraid to tell people about Jesus? When I think about the martyrs that are in the world today, thousands of people get martyred when they talk and preach the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. It's going on all over the world. Even in this country, there are events happening. And so are we afraid to preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's a part of Matthew 16:15, which is to preach the gospel to all the world. That's the Great Commission. And what are we doing? Are we fearful to tell people about the gospel? Well, that's something I don't mean I'm telling you one thing or another. I'm bringing it up for a point of discussion. And I don't have the answer to that. But if you are concerned, I know you can find out more information by searching in the Bible what something means or other examples that talk about salvation or who goes to the hell. I think of Matthew 7, chapter 7. It's about the wide road that leads to destruction, which of course has to be hell. And there are few that follow the narrow path that leads to life. Well, it's said in different ways all through the scripture. I think of Ephesians 8, that salvation is a free gift, and therefore salvation cannot be earned. But when we do things for Jesus or for the body of Christ, it is something we do out of love and caring, compassion for people. And that's a part of what we understand about the good news of the Bible. It's not that we do good works to get into heaven. It's that we do good works because we want to do what is good for the kingdom of God. Salvation. We want to save people from hell. So we talk to people, and that's a part of what we do as we go through life. Well, there's so many things in life that are just going to happen. They're going to happen. They happen to us. They're things we never expect, but they happen to us. And from the troubles we go through, very often we get compassion. We learn to have compassion for people who are going through hard times. And, well, the United States go through a hard time. It's shaping up that way, but do we really understand it? Do we see that the sinkholes mean that there is going to be a water problem? Do we notice that 60% of the USA is in a drought? Could it happen to us? Could it happen to the United States? Could fires happen like they happened a few years ago? Well, I guess they are still going on. They are going on right now today. And fires are going on in the USA, and fires are going on in the world. There are troubles going on with drought, with fires, with sinkholes, with a lack of food and water. That's going on also, yes, in the world, and yes, in the United States of America. So what do we do about that? Do we do anything? Well, praying is a good first thing to do. And then what happens after we pray? Shall we take a few actions to help with providing for ourselves and for others, the people we love and the people we don't love? After all, what is preaching the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? That really is showing love for other people. And how do we do that? By caring for their needs? Yes, of course. By telling them about heaven and salvation that they can do when they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? That is a part of what we do. We preach the good news of the gospel. And there can be consequences. There can be things that are wonderful that happen. There can be surprises. And there can be everything that goes on. So we want to be prepared for being a loving Christian person. And we want to be prepared for the safety that we may need when we preach the good news of the gospel. I mean, that's just reasonable, isn't it? Sometimes you have to be a little prepared for people to not like you. It doesn't mean you overreact, but it means that you are thoughtful in what is going on around you. Stay aware. Look out for everything. It could be as you go walking. Don't step on a snake. It can mean as you're driving. Avoid that accident. It could mean as you are speaking the good news of the gospel and knowing that sometime you have to duck. And after all, we do have an enemy in this world, and that enemy is the evil in the world. I remember going to a Christian speaker, and so he started in talking about Jesus and the good news of the gospel. And just for no reason, the speaker fell out. The speaker that increases the sound, that just fell over for no good reason. What was that, a coincidence? Was it the powers of darkness? It's a good question. It's not that we know. But all I mean is there are reasons to be prepared for anything going on. And that includes the unexpected car accident in front of you that happens. That includes anything that you might hear or be told. We have to be prepared for things that could happen to us. So be watchful and be prepared. There are all the natural disaster things that we want to be prepared for. And that means having a few things on hand. Yeah, for our car. Yeah, to fix our car. Yes, for our first aid kit. For us or for others. We can show compassion by helping other people with first aid. And that's a part of what we do also. It's a part of love. We love other people. And that's a part of what we do. Loveliness. It's the good news of the gospel. I do always invite you to talk. You might want to have some information about preparedness, and I have that on hand if you would like to get my little preparedness paper that I give away for free. It would be nice if you sent me a self-addressed stamped envelope, but it is for free, and I'm glad to give people ideas about what they might want or need for preparedness. And so if you write me, that'd be great. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Always glad to have you listen to the broadcast, which you can listen to anytime, again, or any past broadcast at www.christtoday.org. Thank you very much. God bless you.